Welcome to Singled In, a gathering place for singles of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in their 30s and 40s, also known as mid-singles. I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Oliver. And today's topic is a little interesting and fun. We're going to talk about what it's like as members of the church to date outside of the church. And before we dive into that topic, Lindsay... you suggested that we play a fun little game called yes. He's a 10, but... So if you could explain the premise and the rules, and then we'll do our own He's a 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is something that has been a little bit more common on social media, like TikTok or other places where they'll say he's a 10, but... And then have some attribute that is less desirable, and then you have to decide if you could go for it. My good friend Maggie had introduced this game to me in a different form. It was called He's Perfect in Every Way, but...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we used to play that all the time.
So he's a 10, but he chews with his mouth open.
I know everyone chews with their mouth open a little bit. I personally really struggle with mouth sounds. Like, if anyone's, like, a loud chewer or they have, like... Do you know people who have, like, a popping jaw when they chew?
Oh, like when they grind their teeth?
I don't know if it's that, but you just hear like a slight pop when they're chewing.
Oh.
I know a few people like that who I love so much.
Interesting.
I cannot handle that. So my rule is if we're not eating at the same time, you can't eat in my presence. Like if we're eating at the same time, then I'm okay and I can handle chewing sounds, but otherwise, like, I need to be in another room. And this goes for, like, people I love very much, so.
So you guys can never have, like, a nice dinner together, then?
No, we can. So we can eat together, we just can't... He can't be, like, chomping away while I'm sitting doing something else.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, and I know everyone's... Not everyone's as sensitive as me, but I think it's, like, a medical condition that I... It just makes... It drives me up the wall. I cannot handle, like, mouth sounds at all. There is a name for it, and I forgot what the name is.
Yeah. Speaking of mouth sounds, I thought of another one.
Uh-huh.
He's a 10, but he pops his gum.
Yeah, that's a no.
I absolutely
straight
hate...
to jail.
Yeah. Denied. Absolutely hate when people pop their gum. But anyway...
I mean, I get the appeal. Like, if I'm on my own, I will for sure pop my gum sometimes. Just, like, if no one's around me, but I get how annoying it is, so...
Yes.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Those are good ones, Oliver. What do you think about the... So, no on the gum popping,
mm-hmm.
loud chewing. What are your opinions on that?
I mean, if the person's chewing like a cow...
Yeah.
Like, what's that line from... She's All That, where the mom is like, dear, chew like you have a secret.
Yes. No, it's from She's the Man.
She's the Man, yes.
Yeah, which...
Different movie, yeah.
Which is my favorite movie ever. Chew like you have a secret.
Not that I want to be that mom, but, like, I don't want someone who's, like, obnoxiously chewing like they're a cow or something.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, like you said, minimal open mouth chewing is fine.
Yeah. I feel like children are notoriously bad about chewing with their mouths open. Like, have you been around nieces and nephews, and they're just like... Nah, nah, nah,
yes.
Nah. Yeah.
Although, I will say, I will give children a pass, because, you know, they're kids.
Yeah.
They're still learning.
Yeah, they're still learning. It's
sometimes
less annoying.
Sometimes it's cute. Sometimes it's...
Yeah.
Annoying, but not as annoying as, like, a full-grown adult. And for our listeners, I would love to hear your He's a 10 scenarios. I would love to read those comments.
Yeah, please. Send them in.
Oh, gosh. Anyway, so let's get back on track.
Yeah, so our topic today is dating outside the church.
Mm-hmm.
I think many people who have gotten to our age and are single in the church have considered this to some degree. In fact, I was still in my 20s, and I was living in Boston, so not as huge of, like, an LDS hub as, say, Utah or even here in Vegas, but we still had a couple singles wards, and our stake president came to our Release Society once and told us that we should be dating outside the church. He said, well, he basically said, I've looked at the numbers and the odds are not in your favor, so this is something you should maybe consider. And I can't remember if it was more like a you should flirt to convert sort of, like, thing or not.
A stake president
a
told
stake
you that.
A stake president. He was, like, a little bit of a, I wouldn't say controversial, but he was open to, like, the hard topics for sure. He was a good one.
Interesting.
And he wasn't, he wasn't afraid of being, like, criticized or something in his, like, leadership.
Definitely more modern.
Yeah, he was just, like, a little bit more of, like, a thinker, I guess.
More practical.
Yeah, which is, like, very normal for Boston. There's a lot of people like that. Mm. But I did think that was a really interesting thing to say because, as we'll talk about, dating outside the church is really tricky.
Yes.
And so I don't know if I recommend it for everyone, but we'll talk about our stories. And we're not saying, like, you should make decisions like us. It's just this is some of the things we've experienced. And I'm sure those perspectives will continue to change for us as we continue to date. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So I would love to hear from you, Oliver. What your experience is dating outside the church. Obviously, you don't need to share, like, we don't need names, but...
details, explicit details.
Yeah, like, how do you feel about that? Do you feel like it's something that's useful to try?
Well, like you said earlier, it's not something that the church isn't against,
mm-hmm.
But they do very much want you to marry inside the religion. And again, that's not something that you should do, but they do highly recommend that because same beliefs, mm-hmm. same religious background, it just makes for a better, more compatible relationship.
Yeah, I think even like researchers and scholars would also say that, like, it's just easier to marry someone. The more similar you are, the easier the relationship will be. And so religion, I think, is a big one that they would point out as being, like, really helpful if you are aligned in your belief systems in terms of, like, having a good foundation. So, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's definitely a common theme.
Yeah. And I feel like when you're younger, so if you're still, like, a young single adult, then I feel like it's easier to date in the ward just because I feel like you have more... Maybe the swimming pool is bigger, so your options, you have more options that way.
Mm-hmm.
But then as you get older, and then you end up in a mid-singles ward like you and I are, not that your options are limited, but in a sense, like, the swimming pool is smaller. There's not as many fish in the sea.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have already used and reused these, if you've already gone down these avenues,
mm-hmm.
and you've already used and reused those dating apps, one in particular that the church, again, recommends, doesn't strictly enforce, but recommends that we use, Mutual.
Yeah, or at least it's, I don't know if the church cares about it or not, but at least it's one that is specifically for meeting members of the church.
Yeah.
The only one I know of, besides... I think there's some, like, online ones that aren't apps.
Yeah, there's, like, Christian Mingle and...
yeah, there was some LDS, like, LDS Planet and things that I think are still around.
I think they're used
by, like, a little bit of an older generation.
Yeah.
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 Especially since the apps came along.
Yeah, definitely. Especially now that dating is more about, like, online and people don't usually, like, meet and... We just don't really meet in person anymore. We meet via... social media, mm-hmm. via apps. And so with the church's dating app, Mutual, like, if you don't have any luck on there, then what else do you turn to?
Mm-hmm.
That's other dating apps.
Mm-hmm.
And so for those of us speakers, or for the speakers who are listening to this, if you don't know, like, I'm a gay man, I'm a gay member of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mutual can't and does not apply to me.
It doesn't have a choose man option.
Exactly. There is no gay filter on Mutual. So I didn't have, for obvious reasons, I didn't have very much luck on Mutual. So I don't want to say I didn't have a choice, but so I decided to go and try other dating apps.
Uh-huh.
And so I did, the first app that I did was Facebook Dating,
uh-huh.
which was still fairly new back then. And honestly, I liked that because it wasn't as stressful. Than, like, Tinder or, like, the other big popular ones. And then when I was ready, I got into Tinder.
Uh-huh.
And I got more options there. I got more variety there. So that was a lot more enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I feel like when you do a dating app, you do one that's, like, more your speed. And then when you're ready, you kind of advance on to, like, to other dating apps.
Yeah, what do you mean by, like, more stressful, like... With more intense or
just more variety, more options.
Okay.
Yeah. With Facebook Dating, I felt like, okay, I have a small pool, but that's fine because this is something that I've getting into, like, I'm new to this.
You can handle it.
Yeah, exactly. It was something that I could, like, manage.
Okay.
And then when I was ready and I knew what I was doing, then I mm-hmm. moved on to, like, the bigger dating mm-hmm. profiles or the bigger dating apps, mm-hmm. Tinder being one of them. Mm-hmm. And that's when I was like, oh, yeah, there's more people on here. There's more variety. I have a lot more options, more potential partners.
Yeah. We could do a whole nother episode on dating apps, I'm sure, and we should. Mm-hmm. But I've heard Tinder is actually a good option, even though it has a little bit of a reputation as being, like, people looking for hookups or whatever.
Yeah.
But everyone knows what Tinder is. So if you are, like, a very good dater who just happens to be getting out of a long-term relationship and is not, like, a pro dater, like, you're not, haven't been on the dating scene for very long, and you think, oh, I should get on an app, what are you going to think of? Tinder, because it's something everyone's heard of. It's not this, like, obscure option. And so that could be, like, a great way to find somebody who's, like, not this, like, serial dater, but is just like, okay, I'm going to try this out. And does that make any sense?
It does, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like there could still be good people on there who aren't necessarily, like, jaded by all the apps or, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like back in the day when Tinder first started, that was, like, the hookup app.
Yeah.
But now that we have other dating apps, I feel like Tinder is more like, okay, like, we're a serious company. Like, you could actually find relationships on here. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Whereas before, you know, 4 or 5+ years ago, it was definitely, like, a hookup app. And let's be honest, all dating apps are potentially hookup apps.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can get that on any app.
Exactly,
get those, like, solicitations, I guess.
Those invitations that you weren't looking for, yeah.
Yeah. So, using apps like that, have you had success? Like, have you had any relationships from them, or at least, like, a positive dating experience?
Yeah, for the most part, I have. It's different, for sure, but... Yeah, I've went on a couple of great dates, met a couple mm-hmm. of, you know, great guys. And mm-hmm. first dates, usually for the most part, like, always went well. And then if or when there was a second date, mm-hmm. that's when the topic of, like, if it didn't get talked about in the first date, then religion came up during the second date.
Okay.
And it was usually during that second date where it was like, oh, okay, well, we're not, like, on the same path. Like, I don't think I can see this advancing on just because, like, our beliefs are different and... whatever the reasons may be.
Okay.
But yeah, first dates were always, not always a success, but a lot of my first dates were, you know, pretty good dates. And then by the time the second or third date happened, usually the second date is when it was like, oh, okay, so you're still religious. Oh, you believe in this. Well, I don't believe in that. Oh, okay, well, maybe I don't think this is going to work. And then you end there and then you continue your...
yeah.
Your swiping binge.
Did you find it was usually like a... superficial thing where they're like, oh, you're not having sex right now, I want to have sex, goodbye? Or was it more people were thinking, like, long term, like, oh, I don't see us, like, growing a family together or whatever? Or was it a little bit of both?
Ooh, I think it was definitely the first one. Oh, they just want to, like, hook up.
Yeah, get right to that part of the relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is seems very common.
Yeah.
Okay. So was that hard? Like, was that discouraging? Like, what was that like for you?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Because just dating in general is already hard enough as it is.
Yeah.
And then you find a person that you really like and you think you're really meshing well. Like, you have the same likes, dislikes, mm-hmm. and the conversation's really going. And then the religion's one of the big topics where it's like, okay, this could either make or break a relationship.
Absolutely.
And so when that topic eventually does get brought up, uh-huh. and you realize that you don't have the same views or the same beliefs or even, like, the same deities or what have you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it does put a damper in that, you know, potential relationship.
Uh-huh.
Because if you can't see yourself being happy with someone when you're questioning their religion, then how are you going to make that work?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, can you even respect it? Or...
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
There was one guy that I met, and we hit it off, like, straight away. Great first date.
Uh-huh.
Went on a couple of more dates, and, you know, religion came up.
Uh-huh.
And he said... oh, you know, religion doesn't matter to me, like, as long as you're a good person, which you are, and I like you a lot, so, like, don't worry about, you know, our different religious views and our different religious uh-huh. beliefs. And I thought that was the best thing ever. I was like, oh my gosh, like, I found the guy that I'm gonna, like, fall in love with.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he said all the right things.
Yeah.
And then as we started, you know, going on more dates and spending more time together, it was... it really got to the point where he was like, you know, I don't understand why you believe this, or like why you let this religion control your life in this aspect. And it was almost kind of like that respect that he said he had in the beginning was no longer there.
Yeah.
And so that is the hard part, is if you do decide to date outside of the church, you need to have those awkward personal conversations about like beliefs and what you believe and why you believe it and how come that's important to you and how are you going to make that work should this relationship continue.
Yeah, and just, it sounds like you need to get really clear yourself on like where you stand with those things and like what actually matters to you.
Yeah, that too.
Where you draw the line, what's deal breaker and what's not. Yeah, that's been my experience as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So do you feel like you are still open to that approach of like trying to date outside the church and just hope that the other person is more open-minded about it? Or what do you think? Or are you just kind of like putting that on pause for now?
Well, I mean, honestly,
do you feel like that's still like an option to try that? Or
yeah. Just because I had a couple discouraging incidents, it doesn't, I still think dating is really fun and enjoyable.
Yeah.
So even though it didn't work out with those particular, you know, potential partners, I still look forward to dating, and, you know, I still will continue using those apps, and I will continue, you know, pursuing people who aren't necessarily members of the church.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like that you said that the first dates were always good, but I mean, this confirms what I already know, that you're a catch and you're really fun to be around. And of course, people want to go on dates with you. You know what I mean?
Stop it, Lindsay.
So I feel like there will be people who will be able to work through like those differences and be comfortable with like just being different people, but still having a close, loving relationship.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And on Tinder, I did find another member of the church.
Oh, there you go.
And, you know, so they're out there.
They're out there.
They're out there, yeah.
For sure.
You can totally still find people who are your same faith and still believe in the same things that you believe on different dating apps.
Yeah, for sure. Do you feel like dating somebody who has a similar church background is ideal?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Ideal, and it just makes it more easy.
Uh-huh.
Because you already have that similarity, and you kind of already have like that same background, so you already know where that person's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it definitely makes it easier, in my opinion.
Okay. Yeah, that makes total sense. Well, I can talk about my experience, too.
Yeah.
I'm definitely like a lot of similarities, seeing a lot of themes there. So, like in Boston, when I lived there, I definitely went on dates with guys who weren't members of the church, as well as guys who were members. And a lot of times they were people I met organically. I wasn't seeking it out, like...
Oh, like in person?
Yeah, like, I went on a bunch of dates with, like, a neighbor of mine who I just, like, met because we were on the same train every day, or, you know, things like that. And those always, like, fizzled out pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
We never, like, had the conversations, but my assumption was, like, once they learned how religious I was, they were out. So,
oh.
Yeah. Like, oh, no sex? Okay. Well, see you later. Thanks. Yep. It's been fun. So, yeah. So, I kind of, like, had always been open to the idea of dating outside the church. I just like the idea of, like, having this relationship where you bring different things to the table, you know what I mean? And just bring, like, a breadth of perspectives or whatever. And I especially appreciated living in Boston because I felt like the people around me were pretty open to religion, not necessarily like this is something I'm gonna get on board with, but like, oh, you're religious, like that's really interesting, I like that you're passionate about something, I want to hear more about it. Like, people were just really open to talking about it. Mm-hmm. And there was, you know, a lot of people representing a lot of different religions there.
Yeah, different cultures.
There. yeah so that was really cool, that environment. So I liked that. But yeah, I hadn't like seen it really work in practice, like hardly at all. Like, I know hardly anyone who's like dated and or married someone outside the church, but I know they exist. So earlier this year, I was getting discouraged with the dating scene, as happens periodically.
as one does.
Yeah, I think I had an experience where I like felt like I was competing with a friend for a guy again, like a guy at church. And so I was just feeling a little bit discouraged because there are definitely more women than men at church. Like, we have like two early societies and only one elders quorum. Mm-hmm. And I also feel like the ratio of like quality women to quality men is a little bit skewed. Like there still are some great guys for sure, but it feels like a little bit discouraging when you look around and you're like, oh, there's a lot of really wonderful, beautiful women here. And the guys, like there's a few for sure, yeah. But
only a handful,
only a handful. And I've already, you know, tried dating a few of them. And so, yeah. So in some ways I like sought, well, I did seek this out. So my thought was, I'm just going to try it again, and I got on Hinge this time. Mm. I've tried a few other things in the past, like Bumble or whatever.
There's a lot.
There are a ton of options. I think I tried Hinge because I had just read this book from this girl who's like our age, who's like a relationship scientist at Hinge, and she had a lot of good things to say. Hmm. So it's called How Not to Die Alone. I recommend it. Actually, it's really cute. She's great. And she's like Harvard educated, you know, smart girl, and she's like a dating coach.
Good for her.
Yeah. So I was like, Hinge sounds cool. And actually, Hinge was cool. I actually really recommend Hinge. I liked how they give you all these, like, prompts. So you can, like, say interesting things about yourself on your profile that are good conversation starters. And so, and then there's no, like, swiping. So you just, like, go through profiles. And if you see something you want to comment on, like something from somebody's picture or something they said in their profile, then you can, like, comment on it. And then they see that and they can choose whether to respond or not. So it kind of like naturally gets the conversation going versus like two people swiping and then never actually talking to each other again.
Okay. So it already establishes like that commonality before.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that.
So Hinge had a few nice things. Oh, the other nice thing is it limits how many matches you can have a day. So you can still like, or match it. Yeah. I guess a match would be somebody who talks to you and you respond or vice versa. Hmm. So it limits how many of those you can have a day. So that's kind of nice too, because then you're not just endlessly swiping and you're like, okay, we'll see what's next. Like you just have to like talk with what you got, you know?
Yeah.
And like, see if there's anything there. So yeah. So Brian, he's my boyfriend. He was the, I talked to a few guys on Hinge, but he was the only one I went out with. Hmm.
Nice guy, by the way.
Yeah.
We approve.
Yeah. We approve of Brian. So, and it was something like, I had talked about how I like hiking Gold Strike Hot Springs. And he was like, oh, I just hiked that this past weekend. So it was like an easy way to start a conversation. And actually it was really cute. Oliver helped get this relationship going because we'd been sending each other like novels over the app, you know, about our lives or whatever. And then it just stopped, like he stopped responding. And so I was talking to Oliver like, you know, a week later or whatever. And I was like, oh, there was this one guy on there that seemed interesting, but he kind of ghosted me. And Oliver said, oh, just like reach out again and like ask him out or something. And so I did. And Brian was like, oh my goodness, I didn't think you were interested because you were taking a while to respond.
Interesting.
I didn't think I was taking that long, but apparently I was. I was just busy. So he said, great, let's, I would love to do a phone conversation first before we go out. I just find it's like good to, it was just like a way for him to kind of make sure the person was crazy, basically, before investing in a date.
Yeah.
So we had like a nice phone conversation, and then it took us a while to get on a date, just like with our schedules, but we did. And yeah, so we've been dating for 4 or 5 months now, and it's going really well. I will say it's been tricky, and something that's helped from the start, first of all, Brian's like a great communicator. So mm-hmm. even like that first phone conversation, I mentioned something about religion or whatever. And he's like, oh, what religion are you? I told him. And he was asking questions like, well, how do you like see that going in a relationship? How do you see that working for like your future children? Like he was asking all the questions.
Yeah.
And I think something that I had felt even before like getting on Hinge to try this was that differentiation in a relationship was important for me. It was important for me to really establish a good sense of self and who I was, and then be comfortable with bringing someone else into my life who wasn't going to be exactly the same as me, and us still being able to have like a close relationship despite that. But I think that's something I learned a little bit, especially like 2020 pandemic. I felt like things were really crazy, like politically and stuff, and you'd learn that you're just like maybe different than your friends, you know, in terms of how you think and see the world. And sometimes that could be a little distressing.
Yeah.
But I think that's something I learned, is that like, it's okay that we're like, we think and see the world differently. Like we can still be support each other and be friends. And so that's something I wanted to bring into like a romantic relationship. And so.
Yeah, which you're doing now.
Yeah. So, and then the other thing that has helped a ton is that from the beginning, like Brian has had a very secure attachment style where, we can talk more about attachment styles, but basically there's like three main types where you're either anxious, avoidant, or secure. But it's basically how you approach relationships. Like, are you doing a lot of things to push people away? Are you doing a lot of things to like be too clingy or whatever?
Yeah.
Or are you just like very comfortable getting and staying in relationships and you don't like play games or get too stressed about it or mm-hmm. whatever? And that's totally Brian. So, and that I feel like is pretty rare for our age group. Like for people in singles in our age group. Like, I mean, there's plenty of like securely attached people who are married, you know, on our age, but not a lot of singles.
Yeah.
So that was really great about Brian. And so, yeah, I feel like, yeah, I mean, it's definitely been interesting and there's been some hard stuff. I think the respect thing you were talking about, like, where you're wondering, can this person, like, respect me despite, like, my beliefs that may be different from them? That was something we had to work through a little bit, or quite a bit. Brian has, like, a religious upbringing, very religious, mm-hmm. but has, like, stepped away from that. And he, there were times where he was like, okay, I can get religion. This Mormon thing is a little weird, you know, things like that. So
what? Mormons are weird?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, we've had to work through a lot of that and he's definitely like has his questions or even like criticisms of the church, which is fine. Cause I have those as well.
Yeah.
But were times where we'd have conversations about it and I would feel like a little bit attacked cause this is like my life and you know, what I believe.
It's what all you know. Yeah.
Yeah. It's what I've believed and been surrounded by like for 36 years now. So yeah, so it's been really interesting, but, I feel like we've come a long way just as we've like worked through those differences and had to talk about them. Something that's helped a lot is Brian comes to church with me pretty regularly. And this is not with like any intention of like joining, you know,
yeah.
But I think he just wants to like support me and that's a way he's found to do that. And that's been really helpful. I mean, it's been super nice to have him there and there's like zero expectation that he is there. Mm-hmm. But it's been nice to have him there and just have him be a part of my church community, which is really big. Like all my friends, or most of my friends come from my church community and mm-hmm. a lot of just who I am is part of that. And my, you know, all my family's part of it. So yeah, so it's been good. There's so much to say about the relationship, honestly. I will say also the sex thing was tricky. Like at the beginning, he was like, I don't think waiting until marriage is necessarily a great idea. And I would be like, oh, I can understand why you would think that. And that makes sense. But I feel like we were both able to table that for a while until he got to a point where he was like, okay, it's not actually as big of a deal as I thought it would be. And it's going to be okay. You know, like we can do this. So I feel like, yeah, we still are working through some of that in terms of like, I mean, it's just tricky when one person has like a lot more experience in that realm than the other one mm-hmm. or more of a history. So, it's a lot to work through, but, but it's been good. And I feel like, we have a good relationship where we can keep talking about things and we'll see. People have been very supportive around me, family and friends. So that's been good. Nice. And like, you know, welcoming him. Yeah.
You were talking about how you guys had, a conversation about sex.
Uh-huh.
That's definitely one of the big conversations that I mentioned earlier is like religion and uh-huh. sex. So those are the talks that you need to have in relationship and that could either make or break the relationship.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely one of those big ones.
Yeah, it's a big one.
I know it's a conversation that has been brought up multiple times
uh-huh.
when I went on dates just because, you know, I mentioned earlier, like Mormons, they're so weird.
Uh-huh.
But the more you think about it, we are distinct because, you know, we believe in not having sex until marriage.
Yeah.
And the majority of the world does not follow that.
No. Yeah.
Not at all. And so, of course, that's going to be, you know, not necessarily an alarm bell, but that's definitely a trigger when you go on a date with someone. And it's like, oh, wait, how do you feel about sex? And then you mention that and it's like, oh, why though?
Yeah. Yeah. And then you have to like really like dig deep and be like, okay, mm-hmm. why is this important to me? And like finding those reasons. And yeah, I feel like law of chastity is a tricky one for sure. And I think especially being like celibate, you know, into your 30s is like it's kind of weird sometimes because I feel like a little bit of a child in some ways mm-hmm. because of that. And I also feel like I have like weird hangups around sex, just like a little bit of fear and shame.
Yeah.
So that's been something I've been trying to like face a little bit and figure out, but and maybe even like work through in therapy and stuff. So
yeah,
absolutely.
Sex alone could be a whole other.
Absolutely, we should have many podcast episodes about it. Yeah, because it's a tricky one to navigate, especially I think at this age when we're being celibate longer than we were meant to be. I guess, you know, yeah. I guess the ideal is people get married in their 20s and it's fine.
Yep.
But obviously that's not perfect either. It's not like everyone who's married has like these perfect sex lives or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's tricky for everyone.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier about how you know that couples who aren't of the same religion exist.
Mm-hmm.
A prime example, that my sister.
Oh, yeah. I would love to hear mm-hmm. about that.
So she... Her first husband was a convert, so he became a member of the church.
Uh-huh.
And then he went and served his mission, and then he came back home, and then he married my sister, and they stayed together for, oh gosh, I think, you know, a little over 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that was total, or but anyway, so they were together for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have any kids, and I think they talked about having kids, but anyway, things kind of... were regressing in the relationship and, you know, some unhealthy, like, habits and some secrets were revealed. But anyway, so long story short, they got divorced. And, you know, really hard. Divorces in general are really hard. But, you know, my sister took it really hard. And she went back to the dating scene. And... which of course didn't like help her self-esteem because, you know, she was a married woman and now she's got to like throw herself out there
mm-hmm.
and, you know, see, you know, who wants to, you know, date her. And she went on a lot of dates. Like she's an awesome lady. But anyway, she ended up remarrying an awesome, wonderful guy and he's not a member of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she has kids with mm-hmm. my brother-in-law and they're making it work and they're happy and... She's thrived more in this relationship with a man who isn't a member of the church than she ever did with the convert that she was first married mm-hmm. to.
What do you feel like makes their relationship work so much better?
You mentioned communication earlier.
Yeah.
Communication, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they both have sought, like, help
mm-hmm.
since then. Like, I think they both, like, see a therapist or they see a therapist yeah. together.
Yeah.
They do activities together.
Uh-huh.
They're definitely, it's just, I feel like it's a healthier relationship than mm-hmm. what she was in before.
Yeah. Just, like, a better fit for her.
Yeah. Better fit, better environment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah. That's not necessarily, you don't necessarily have to be, you know, a member mm-hmm. of the church in order to make a relationship work.
Do you feel like it got trickier for them when they had kids and figured out how to raise their kids?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When she, I think before he asked her to marry him, she had hang-ups about, I don't know if I should, like, say yes or not, uh-huh. just because he's not a member.
Right.
And I think, if I remember correctly, like, she went and, you know, sought counsel from Heavenly Father,
mm-hmm.
and she got her answer.
Yeah.
And she decided to marry him, and, you know, they're thriving right now. They're both doing really good and have their little family, and yeah, everyone's...
I love to hear it.
Yeah, everyone's doing good.
Yeah. I mean, something I'll say that I should have clarified earlier is I didn't seek out dating outside the church because... I couldn't get any, like, church guys to date me or something like mm-hmm. that. It's not like I'm seeking this, like, lesser option. I think there were many reasons I sought it out, and part of it was not just, like, a lack of options at church, but also a lack of options that really, like, fit a lot of my other values. I think I had, like, certain values around, like, maybe education or some sort of, like, intellectualism or... maybe like some political leanings or things like that that were also important to me in addition to just like good moral values. So I think that was another like impetus for looking, you know, broadening my search in some ways. So, and I also will say, I think something that's been really important for us in the relationship is going into it not expecting the other person to change. And so
mm-hmm.
I think sometimes friends or family, when they're around Brian, will get like a little bit like in the missionary mode, like, hey, you should like join the church sort of thing, especially because he's coming and engaging a lot with it.
Yes.
Whereas I've like rated to him many times, and I really feel this way, is like, I have, like, zero expectations that he would ever, like, join the church or come along to my side or whatever. I just don't feel like that's fair to him going into the relationship with that kind of expectation or harboring that. And I also feel like I like who he is and what he brings, like his perspectives and things like that, which are honestly challenging sometimes. And I feel like it has like challenged my beliefs different ways, but I feel like it's good for me to be like working through those things, those questions, and figure out like what really is important for me. And it's part of like the growing up process. So
yeah,
that's been good. And and he's also reiterated to me many times, like, I am very comfortable with you being part of this religion and this community your whole life. Like, there's no expectation that you would change either. So I think that's been really good on both sides. There still are, like, some interesting things. Like, you think about expectations for your life. Like, getting married in the temple has always been, like, a big expectation for me, especially being raised in the church.
That's, like, the number one priority. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually had two a while ago. I was going through some of my old stuff, and I had this, like, temple time capsule. This was pre-Brian, where I had, like, put in... I honestly didn't open it, but I had, like, put in this box, like, all these, like, things I wanted for my wedding or whatever. And I'm sure there's some temple themed things. But I was, like, this is something from, like, my young woman days where there was maybe, like, some unhelpful narratives about, like, you're going to grow up and meet, like, your Prince Charming and get married in the temple. And it's just not helpful for me right now, so I'm throwing this away. I threw it away without looking at it.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, it probably had done things like, what wedding colors do I want? Which is like, you know, something I chose at 16 that I would not like at all now. And so I think I think like, obviously the temple is super beautiful and I've been like, it's been really fun to see friends get married in the temple or whatever, but I think there's like a lot of like beautiful ways to like go about accomplishing like a family and things like that. So I don't know if you've like also had to like deal with like maybe grieving some of those like lost expectations. Not that I'm like for sure going to marry Brian, but I don't know, just like thinking through some of those things as I think about the future has been interesting for sure.
Yes. And as you get older, naturally your view and opinions change as you get older and learn more and you get more educated and you learn to see from other people's points of views, which is that's the healthy, that means that you're growing and you're learning and you're advancing. So that it's the right thing to, when your views change and when you're learning more about yourself and whether or not you should continue believing in something or abandon it, because maybe it's not healthy for you anymore. Maybe it's toxic now, whereas before it was healthy. You mentioned something about how your family, whenever Brian's around, they kind of go into, like, mission mode.
Yeah. Some of them.
Yeah.
Not all.
So, back when I was in high school, one of my closest friends, my dearest closest friend, we dated for a couple of months. And she wasn't a member of the church. She was Catholic. Her mom was Catholic. Her dad was Jewish.
Cute.
And my parents were, like, I don't want to say they were, like, concerned for my soul, but they were concerned.
Yeah.
Like, Oliver, are you sure you want to be dating, like, your friend? Because, you know, she's not a member and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I even remember, and I was, like, what, 16 when I was dating her? And even I was still kind of like, you're absolutely right. Like, it's my mission and my goal to convert her so I could marry her and, like, take her to the temple.
Right.
And I'm 16 years old.
Yeah.
A closeted gay teen. But that was my goal.
Yeah.
And so, like, I remember for her 16th birthday, I got her own quad. Like, the Bible, the Book of Mormon. Like, I got her own quad of scriptures.
Aww.
And I remember she was just like, thank you. But on her face said, what am I supposed to do with this? And, like, even to this day, like, I can laugh about it. And, like, yeah, like, my, so, like, I'm an out gay man now, and she's, you know, she's also a member of the LGBTQ community, so obviously it didn't work out. But it's just, it's funny because, like, yeah, you're absolutely right. When, I think that's kind of our distinct impression, or, like, our first move is to be like, oh, what can I do to, like, convince this person to become a member of the church? Because, you know, being a Mormon is great. And it does have its, it's pros. There's a lot of great things that, you know, being a member of the church does for you, for an individual. But yeah, like when it comes to like dating outside of the church, you don't necessarily have to have that goal or that objective to convert your potential partner. Just, you know, go on dates, like let it come naturally. And if he does, if the person does decide they want to convert, then yeah, then they'll have decided to convert on their own. It wasn't because you were trying to force it so you could make the relationship work.
Yeah. I feel like my relationship with missionary work has really changed over the years. I think I used to be a lot more gung-ho about it.
Yeah.
My family's always been really great about, like, sharing the gospel with our friends and neighbors and stuff. Like, my parents are awesome at that, which has been good. And there's absolutely, like, good reasons to do that, I think. Like, the gospel provides so many, like, wonderful things in people's lives. Just, like, the beautiful doctrine, the community, the closeness to God, all those things. But I think more in recent years, I'm like, my relationship with the church is pretty, like, nuanced. Like, what I feel like is good and what I feel like maybe could be improved. And so, yeah, I'm not always as, like, gung-ho about being like, yeah, you should join me in this place that's, like, a little bit complicated, honestly. Like, there's been tons of good. And, like, if it resonates with you, that's awesome. But, like, it's not something I feel like's for everyone. And that's an interesting thing to think about, because it's like, if it's not for everyone, is it for me, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I also got into a place where I'm like, I can, like, take all the good and continue to enjoy that and be okay with it not always being very black and white. Yeah.
There is a definite mold
in
the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Yeah.
And that mold can be filled for a lot of people, for a lot of members. But then there are some members who can't fit that mold. And so what are they supposed to do in that case?
Like the mold of, like, eternal families,
heterosexual relationships. Yeah, eternal families, heterosexual, exactly.
Things like that. Yeah. Absolutely.
So how does... So yeah, like, the mold does work for most people, but not all people, and not for every member in the church.
Yeah, and ideally, like, the church continues to get more inclusive and more, like, open about, like, just being super welcoming to everyone, no matter what their lives look like. But yeah, I think there's still a lot of work to do, for sure. Yeah, and then, but of course, there's, like, all these beautiful, beautiful doctrines. Like, I was hiking the Camino de Santiago in Spain this summer, and religious conversations came up, and so I was talking to this friend from South Korea, and she said she's been trying to figure out religious stuff, and she asked, do you feel like your church gives you good answers about what happens after you die? And I said, yeah. And I, like, felt really strongly about that. And she's like, oh, that's amazing. You know? So stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, there's, like, some really great things. So that I, like, feel strongly about too. So yeah, it's very complicated, but it's okay to be in that place where it's not all clear, because we got a lot of time to figure it out.
Yeah. I totally agree.
Yeah.
So dating outside of the church.
Yes.
We're okay with it.
I would say yes. I would say it's not for everyone. I would say I would encourage people to go into it with, like, some intentionality about it. Is that a word? Intentionality?
I like it. We'll put it in the dictionary.
Yeah. Just, like, getting really clear on expectations around it. Like, and maybe you're just really understanding, like, what you might be getting yourself into and what you're comfortable with, what you're not comfortable with. I think the expectations thing is really big. I actually did have a good conversation with a friend from Salt Lake who married a guy who's not a member of the church, and she's very strong in the church still. They just had a baby.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah, it was super helpful to talk to her, and that was her big theme, was she had to get really clear on what was, like, okay with her and not okay in terms of, like, just the different lifestyles, drinking, you know, things like that. And she had to, like, make sure that he could meet her in the things that really mattered. And he was able to do that, and that's why they're, you know, thriving in their relationship. But yeah.
Yeah.
I think those expectations are really key. And you have to be, like, open to some hard conversations for sure.
I like that. That is the key word, expectations.
Yeah.
Definitely always have expectations dating regardless.
Right.
But especially if you're going to be dating outside of the church, have that, set that expectation that you will talk about religion. You will talk about sex. You will talk about traditions, whether or not you're going to continue them or whether or not you're going to make new ones.
Raising kids. Yeah.
How are you going to do it? Yeah. Like, I really like that keyword, expectations, and having, communication. One of setting up healthy communication, and how that I think those are all healthy ways that you could set yourself up for a successful relationship.
Yeah, I feel like also just giving people a chance to show you what they are capable of, I guess. I feel like with Brian, it was not clear at the beginning that this was going to be something that was going to get very far, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like we've come a long way in terms of, like, better understanding and supporting each other in our differences. And so, and I think that's true for any relationship. Like, it's not always easy to tell after a couple dates, like, what the potential is in that relationship. So if there's some good foundational things, it's worth, like, continuing to explore for a bit to see if it can pick up some momentum, I guess.
Yeah.
What about you, Oliver? Any other thoughts? You think dating outside the church can be a good thing?
Yeah. There, I think it isn't something that you should completely abandon and give up on. Yeah. Definitely give it a chance.
Yeah.
Because it may surprise you.
Yeah.
It definitely surprised my sister. It sounds like it surprised your friend who's, you know, married and they're expecting a child.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So there is some good that can come from it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
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 And with any relationship in and outside of the church, if you feel like something's wrong or something's off, or if you feel like something isn't going anywhere, just end it. End it as quickly as you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's...
it's not worth dragging things out that are bad. Yeah, it's not.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure. I've definitely done that in the past, where I let relationships drag on a little bit because it's just hard to break up. It's hard to start over, but it can be really worth it.
Yeah.
So you got this, guys.
Hang in there. We're counting on you.
Yes, we're rooting for you.
Good.
We're here for you. Well, thanks everyone for joining us today for a little Lindsay and Oliver time. And
I do enjoy these times. These are...
Yeah, we should do more of these. Some deep dives. Yeah, we have many more topics to come, so... Yeah, this has been great. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Talk to you guys later.